Well, it's the last hour of Issues Etc. Today we're going to be talking about some women in the New Testament. One of the other things that the new atheists like to throw at Christianity is that, and this is not all the new atheists, but some of them do, that Christianity has held a long-held hostility or low view of women. Is this true? There are a lot of women mentioned in the New Testament. Three of them are going to be talking about Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe, get not only mentioned by name, but are actually described in some sense. We'll be talking with Dr. Daniel Pavela, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in just a moment. Now, coming off that PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on interreligious dialogue, Frank in Las Vegas has this to say via email: all religions other than Christianity are religions of the law. Christianity maintains that the law's primary purpose is to show man's inability to keep it as demanded by God. Very well put, Frank. And he says, all others believe that man can keep the law with or without the help of God. That's a great distinction. It's just one of the, you know, if you walked into an interreligious dialogue and said, let's talk about the law. Do you believe that you can keep it? You'd immediately have a very interesting and lively conversation, perhaps even an argument going right off the bat. Dr. Daniel Pavela is our guest, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He joins us to talk about Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe. Dr. Pavela, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's nice to be back with you.
Before we talk about these three women in particular, what role did women have in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus?
Well, a rich and varied one. I think Gospel of Luke probably gives us our most comprehensive view. And as you survey Luke, what a wonderful array of women come. You certainly have Mary at the very beginning as a wonderful contrast to Zechariah. They both get the revelation that a miraculous birth is to come. Zechariah reacts with, well, skepticism, doubt. He's turned mute for 9 months. Mary is a complete opposite, isn't she? She comes through with wonderful acceptance and very soon is singing the Magnificat. It couldn't get more, striking in its contrast. And it just goes on from there. You have Anna in the temple at the presentation of Jesus, and she makes known that, you know, her perception, this is the Savior. And right on through the ministry of Jesus, whether there are those who are healed, like the woman who touches Jesus, has great faith, all I have to do is touch him, or it's as an example of faith, such as, for instance, the woman in the parable, Luke 18, who, remember, Jesus taught this parable, they should always pray and never give up. And it's like the woman who never stopped going to the unrighteous judge. So whether they're the recipients of the miracles or they're those who act out great moments of faith, women are rich in the New Testament ministry of Jesus.
Is it true that the early church, under the guidance of the apostles, had held a low view of women, especially vis-a-vis the culture around that early church?
You know, I can't think that we would say that. The role of women was recognized, certainly by the disciples. It was the women to whom the announcement of Jesus' resurrection came. The women made that announcement to the disciples. Where would they be if the women hadn't gone to the tomb, stayed at the tomb? Mary's interaction with Jesus. Continuing on into the early church, women provided the homes. We're going to talk about Phoebe, a wonderful example of probably someone of some significance, some wealth, who it appears was at least a servant, if not an office holder, certainly a recognized, important servant in the church there in the area of Corinth, who helped even Paul in his ministry. So I don't think we can make a case that they were neglected or in any way misused by the early church.
Let's start with Dorcas, if you would. Where do we find her in the New Testament?
Well, you know, the one I was really aiming for us to go to is Phoebe, if I may.
Okay, we can start there.
I think
there,
she's
sure.
The richest of them all in our work together. If I may take us there, because in fact she has the most interesting title given to her. If you'd run over with me to Romans 16:1-2, NIV translation says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to give her help that she may have from you. She's been a great help to many people, including to me." Phoebe is, as I mentioned, a significant woman, obviously perhaps of some wealth in that area, and she had been known to the church, at least in the Corinth area, and now she's being commended to the church as, in a larger sense, heading to Rome.
And when a couple things there. When Paul says, my sister,
yeah,
what's that about?
Well, that's an interesting title. You know, I think it's fairly universal that she is going to be seen as someone, well-known in the Christian circle. He speaks of others as brothers. He uses that family imagery quite often for many. He speaks of Timothy as though his son. So we have that quite often. I think it's just an extension of his, what should we say, in Christ there's this family that's been created. So nothing significant that we would have to be concerned about, but it is interesting.
And she is called by sometimes the term there, and I think the text of the passage you read there in Romans has a little flag on, a little variant on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes referred to as Phoebe, the word you used there was servant, a deacon or a deaconess.
Well, there really is the fun of that one, because, well, what should we say? It doesn't have to be translated as literally a deaconess so that we would have the picture of the office as we know it today. Deaconess, as we understand it, wonderful office and a great opportunity of service for so many. It may have been, and this is kind of a division in the house among commentators, it may have been, however, that Phoebe was known instead as servant. Let's see, Douglas Moo makes a very interesting point that the very same word is diakonos, is used of Jesus himself just in the previous chapter of Romans chapter 15, verse 8, where Christ is termed a servant unto the Jews. And there it's probably not in any official office, but more the general servant meaning. Well, that's the most immediate context we have for that word, and it probably is safe at least to go and call that she is recognized as a servant or helper. And that pretty well works with the second verse also, as you notice, because she has been as you see in the end of verse 2, she has been a helper or a, this is a difficult word too, but helper is a good general term for it.
Now, there are those who have strongly advocated, past and present, for the ordination of women to the pastoral mm-hmm. office, who have mm-hmm. held up Phoebe and said, well, there you go. Paul practically calls her a pastor, and who can argue with this? What's your response to that?
Well, I think that might be pushing it just quite a bit. You know, to think that necessarily because she, for instance, brings the letter itself, and that seems to be the consensus of most commentators, that Phoebe is the one who carries the letter from Corinth, or the area of Corinth where Paul is, to Rome, that thereby she's the proclaimer of all the theology of Romans. Well, isn't that stepping just a bit beyond? It's one thing to convey the greetings of Paul. It's one thing to bear the letter. It's quite a different thing to be the originator of the message or the spokesperson of it. Seems like we've crossed a line there, at least in my mind. And to say one is a servant or a helper in the midst need not necessarily mean that that person is also the proclaimer in that midst.
Now, you mentioned this with respect to Phoebe. I think Lydia also falls into this category. And that is, and I think you also mentioned it with respect to the women that were in the sphere of Jesus' ministry during his earthly ministry. Women of means, or women who had perhaps financial means or business means, often find that way in serving and supporting the servants in the church. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yes. Isn't that interesting that there are those women who have some measure of wealth? We see that with Lydia in Acts 16. Women for whom there's an established place in society. Some would suggest, for instance, the mother of John Mark was a woman of some wealth in Jerusalem, the home to which Peter escapes in Acts, that there was a reason for this wealth. Wouldn't we also especially think of, during the Passion Week, Jesus' anointing by the woman who gives an extraordinary gift, with the anointing of the pure nard, and obviously a woman who has not only got resources, but is completely unselfish in the spending of those resources. I suppose we could also balance her off, though, with the widow who had nothing but the two copper coins, and she gives it all. So in terms of generosity, no matter what the amount is, I think we'd have to say that the women of the New Testament take the preeminent role.
We're talking with Dr. Daniel Pavel, alive this Thursday, the 25th of October, on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe, New Testament saints. The church is remembering these women today. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or you can give us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Let's talk a bit about Lydia then, because she is one of those women of means, and we're actually kind of given even some knowledge about how she came about her wealth and her eventual support of the apostles.
Well, it's interesting. Acts 16 is the time and the place that we find Lydia, especially coming out there, as Paul has gone off to Philippi, there in northern Greece. And, for instance, verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She and the members of her household were baptized, invited us into her home. Luke is there with us. We have the we passages. And she says, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay with our at my house. And she persuaded us. And so it seems that her household becomes the home base. So she is the gracious host hostess for Paul during much of his stay. Of course, it's interrupted by his imprisonment very soon. But that's a wonderful beginning there in Philippi.
For her to be a dealer in purple, that's kind of an archaic saying.
Yeah.
What would that have meant in that part of the world, in that age?
Well, some would suggest, you know, that perhaps she had inherited this position or wealth, and we have, of course, we have nothing to say. Was she married? Did she begin this on her own? Did she receive it, whether by, you know, her parents or by her husband? We don't know. But it's interesting, isn't it, Todd, that she keeps that wealth and in no way it seems to lose it. She has that wealth for an extended time and is noted for it. So it seems like it's an active wealth that she has, not just something that is held for a brief time and but then lost, but instead is something that is held on to for, well, presumably the good of many. Paul just happens to be there, and we assume that the church continues to have the benefit of her help for a long time.
This seems to follow that pattern that you mentioned a little bit earlier with respect to Jesus and women in his ministry, women who, out of their faith and their love for their Savior, are providing for the needs of Jesus or providing for the needs of his disciples so that they can attend to those needful matters of God's Word.
Well, it really does go back to the idea of the deacons, doesn't it? In Acts chapter, you know, the early chapters, Stephen, the preeminent one of those deacons, and it's that continuation there for the deacons, that they are those who serve well and do provide not only the physical needs that others have, but continue to speak and to explain, why are we doing this? Why is this kindness coming? Certainly the women and the men who filled this role had an opportunity thereby to say, it's because of what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful tradition.
What does Scripture tell us about Dorcas?
Well, here we have Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Here we have in verse 36, I should say. In Acts 9, 36, of Peter's travels, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas. And listen to this next phrase. It's just wonderful. Who was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, what a wonderful summary. At that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. And then Peter is urged to come. He is shown the things that Dorcas had done. It's a wonderful picture here in verse 39. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sends them all out, and he says to her, get up, and she does. So it's that wonderful. Dorcas and her resurrection is a very akin. If you remember earlier, we had mentioned the raising of the woman who comes and touches Jesus and is healed, and that's the prelude to, in Mark chapter 5, the healing of the 12-year-old girl who was laid dead. Everyone had given up hope, and Jesus says, in essence, the same thing, get up.
So we have a bit of Peter interacting and dealing with women of faith in a very similar way that Jesus Christ does during his earthly ministry.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it, that the miracles that Jesus does, as Jesus had promised the disciples, they will continue and even do more. How we could imagine doing more is very hard for us to conceive, but the healings do continue, and the casting out of demons, and even the resurrections, and Dorcas is a wonderful example of that. But I especially love these descriptions of her, who was always doing good, helping the poor, and then the can't you just feel the crowd that surrounds her? The women have all come not only to mourn that she's lost, but they just have to press on Peter that what she has done. Here, look what she's done. Look what she's done. I imagine that there are so many people listening who have congregation members they can think of right now who are Dorcases in that way. And the congregation members could all point to, look what she did. Look what she did here and here and here. I certainly have that in my past experience. I'm sure many of our listeners have the same.
The connection with widows, since they were mentioned there in that passage in Acts, is also interesting because it appears that widows probably were, if I understand first century Palestine culture, well, a widow might, if she had no children, really be without any means.
It could be
of
desperate.
Of support.
Yes.
And the church almost invents a place, a new place under the tutelage of Paul for widows and how they were to have a special place in the church. Can you talk about that?
Well, there is that concern for the widows, and you're certainly right to see that they're respected by Paul and held up. And here we have the example of Dorcas being redeemed. We even have it with the ministry of Jesus. For instance, the great example is in the resurrection of the son of the widow of Nain. Many commentators have pointed out that it's probably an act of real compassion, more on the woman than on necessarily just the loss of the life of the son. Because where would she be? She's only son is gone, and she, a widow, her desperation would be complete. So that role of women as both those who need compassion and yet show generosity, the widow's mites, is a very unique thing in the New Testament.
A picture emerges here, Dr. Pavela, of a very elevated view of women of faith in the New Testament, both in Jesus' ministry and those of the apostles, and in fact, an essential part that they play in the body of Christ.
Oh, you know, you're absolutely right. I had mentioned earlier, where would we be without, you know, first of all, the example of Mary in contrast to Zechariah. Where would we be without the other Mary who waits for the at the tomb and first sees Jesus there in the end of John's Gospel? Where would we be without the example of Mary and Martha? Isn't that a wonderful pair in Luke at chapter 10, where the one filled with urgency to serve is yet reminded there's a better thing to be chosen, and Mary, your sister, has chosen the better thing. We could go on and on. Again, we had mentioned the anointing of Jesus, and he says what she has done is a beautiful thing, and it will be told in memory of her. We don't even have the name of the woman, but the beautiful thing that she's done, that is recorded, and it should be remembered of her. So whether it's acts of service, it's silent, devoted listening. It is vigorous speech and action. They run the gamut, the women of the New Testament, to serve in many ways.
I was looking recently at a publication that Pastor Matt Harrison produces through LCMS World Relief. I think it's called Mercy Works. It came to my house the other day, and somewhere in there was he has a lot of deaconesses writing for him. And young women or women who've devoted themselves to the office of deaconess, and you're seeing these women more and more around. I want you to talk about that office reemerging in the church.
It is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I can't imagine us not applauding this. As I work in the university, so many of the young women who come through, they are going to be lay ministers or their pre-deaconess studies or teachers, but they have such ability, devotion, they have creativity, a fearlessness that often leads the way, doesn't merely follow, but it creatively leads the way. I think of, for instance, we have a mission trip that goes to Juarez, Mexico. Every year, we've gone 9 years now, this is by our ninth year, we build houses and do VBS in a very poor part of Juarez, Mexico. And it all came about because an 18-year-old young woman, freshman at the university, said, why don't we do this? She had done it with her church, and she fully expected that we should continue. Well, continue, we'd never even thought of it. But her name is Kimmy Pellegrino. Kimmy gave us the idea. She organized it. She recruited 50 people to go on the first trip, and we've been going for 9 years in a row simply because of her. And that story, I'm sure, again, our listeners could repeat over and over again as women take initiative and not only the supply of the work, but in many cases, the creativity and the leadership that's needed.
Dr. Daniel Pavela is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and he's been with us talking about Dorcas and Lydia and Phoebe. Before we let Dr. Pavela go, let's see what Josh has to say. He was calling from his car. Josh, welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. People need to know that Dr. Pavela is among the highest respected professors among the students at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and they could sit at his feet for hours and just listen to what he has to say. My question is, Dr. Pavela, you mentioned in the section of the Bible you're quoting from that they gave a glowing description of Dorcas, that she helped the poor, etc. How do we juxtapose that with where Paul says that I count my righteousness as rags and we're saved by faith, not by works? Can you explain what the role is then of works?
Dr. Pavela, you've only got about 30 seconds to respond to Josh's
good
question.
Well, and first of all, thank you for the very kind comments there by Josh. I was not worthy of it, but he's very kind. You know, I wonder if Galatians wouldn't put it well for us. When we run over to Galatians 5, and Paul, now, no one would, in reading Galatians, imagine Paul in any way not upholding justification by grace through faith alone. That really stands out, doesn't it? But in Galatians 5:6, I think he strikes the balance. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Isn't that a marvelous balance? Faith grasps the gift of justification by grace, and it expresses itself in the loving actions, Dorcas being a perfect example.
Thank you for being our guest, Dr. Pavela.
Well, thank you.
Concordia University, Wisconsin has a satellite campus. Did you know this? Right here in St. Louis. You can find out more about Concordia University St. Louis Center by calling 314-984-8840. 314-984-8840, or just check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia University St. Louis Center, professional education with a personal touch. When we come back from our break, we've got some soundbite of the week to play. We've got 4 soundbites from this week's audio, 4 good ones if you ask me. They're always good, but these are especially good. We're going to play all 4 of them for you and let you listen, and then we want to hear from you, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. We want you to vote for which of these 4 you think should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week and why. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. To the best callers, we'll send an Issues Etc. travel mug. Send out a couple of those. And to the best caller during soundbite of the week, we will send an I Have Issues t-shirt. Tomorrow on the program, Small Groups with Dr. Tim Rosso. Sunday night on Issues Etc., broadcasting live from Milwaukee, the Lutheran Reformers versus the Other Reformers with Dr. Patrick Ferry of Concordia University, Wisconsin. That's coming up Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's Rally Day here at AM 850 KFUO. It's your chance as a listener to help support the radio ministry of AM 850 KFUO. Yes, hi there. It's Buzz Ulrich. I'm normally pushing the buttons during this hour on Thursday.
Yes, you are, Buzz.
But I get to sit at the microphone with Joni Harwell, and we get to talk about something that is near and dear to us every day, and that's the worldwide ministry of KFUO.
That's right. And as people are listening, tuning us in right now, don't be afraid. If you call in, we're not going to put you on the air. We'll just go ahead and take your request to become a day sponsor and let you select one of the packages that we have. And by becoming a day sponsor for AM 850 KFUO, you help to support our ministry. Buzz, can you tell us a little bit about what a day sponsor is?
Well, absolutely. A day sponsor is someone who agrees to a monthly gift of about $40 for 12 months. Now, if somebody thinks, oh, that's just not enough to help out, you can become a Founders Club member. And there you agree to a monthly gift of about $70 for 12 months. So if you call us 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, you can help us out. And oh, get this, you can claim one of the special Rally Day gift packages. What do you have here?
Well, the one package that I have is number 21, and it's a rest and relax at His Bed and Breakfast in Freeburg, Illinois. This is Kevin and Vicki Eater are donating a gift certificate for a one-night stay in the upper room suite and full breakfast to be used between October 25th and December 31st. So if you have an anniversary coming up or you just want a special evening out together, this would be a very nice gift to have. That's package number 21.
We also have package number 12 for somebody who becomes a day sponsor. It's the Bevo Mill Dinner Theater package, which includes a $90 gift certificate toward the cost of two reservations for the Friday Murder Mystery Dinner Theater at the historic Bevo Mill. You pretty much know where it is if you're anywhere in South St. Louis. You see the big old Bevo Mill there on Gravois right there. It's across the street of Morgan Ford. And
right.
Let's see here, that the other one would be Delore, I guess.
Well, and that's an interactive thing. You get to be involved in that while you're having dinner. You get to be part of the murder mystery. So that's a fun thing to do.
That's a good treat right there. That's package number 12.
And then I have package number 22, which is a super package, especially for families. Now, grandparents might even consider taking their grandchildren with this. This is to Incredible Pizza Company, which is located on South Lindbergh. And with this, you get four passes for all you can eat. Then the kids can go and do bumper cars. They can do mini golf. There's $10 gift cards for each of the four people to play the games there. And then besides that, you get a $50 gift certificate to Reconciliation Bookstore, which is right next to Incredible Pizza, plus the book Spirituality of the Cross by Jean Edward Veith. That's a very nice package, package number 22.
Okay, so there's those three out, but we also have package number 13. For those who like the Box Society, you can experience a Box Society Christmas. This has a gift certificate for two tickets to the Box Society of St. Louis Christmas Candlelight Concert. That's coming up right around the corner, Monday, December 17th. And you'll also receive in this package Christmas with the Box Society.
There's two CDs included in the package.
And I think the other one's Yezu Joy, if I
right.
remember right. Two CDs. That's package number 13. Or if you just can't come up with the day sponsorship money for a gift of $150, you can call and ask for our AM850 KFUO polo shirt. So please call us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and claim a Rally Day package.
And we really do need your support. We really count on it because it helps us to pay the bills so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel message. So if you're just sitting there on the edge thinking, I'm just not sure if I want to do this, please prayerfully consider it. We really do need your support. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850.
We'd also like to thank the Congregation of Historic Trinity in Soulard and Pastor David Marth for supporting Rally Day 2007. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the last half hour of the program, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We want you to pick what you think is the best of the four soundbites we're going to be playing for you from this week's audio. And you pick that by giving us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. You can also email your vote to us this Thursday, October the 25th. We're happy to receive it right here in the studio. But email early because the email sometimes takes a little time, even in this electronic age, issues etc. at kfuo.org. Now, when we play Soundbite of the Week, we're not looking necessarily for you to tell us which one you agree with the most. We're simply looking for that soundbite that when you hear it, it sticks in your mind. You say to yourself, I need to hear that again for whatever reason. It was particularly insightful. You thought it was funny. You thought it was disagreeable. Maybe you completely disagree with it. That's a perfectly good reason for it to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And that in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers, not the people who pick the best soundbite, but the best callers during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week will get an Issues Etc. travel mug, and the best caller to be determined at the end of the game will get the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can't get one of those anymore. They're under lock and key, but we give them away occasionally. I gave one, this will be the second one I've given away today. Pam Nielsen got one earlier today, but she had to work for 5 years to get her I Have Issues t-shirt. So consider yourself quite privileged if you end up being the best caller and getting that I Have Issues t-shirt during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week today. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. First of our soundbites from this week's audio comes from our caller, Mike, on the me focus of American evangelicalism.
You know, what's going on in the evangelical church? It's been happening since day one. I mean, isn't that what Eve was tempted with? Your best life now. If you look at something else, I mean, isn't what we do in the evangelical church or what they do, don't they worship the golden calf of the human experience? Isn't that what the evangelical church is all about, the human experience? And so I would say that people who are attending these evangelical churches, they think they're attending the church that Christ has instituted, but actually they're doing nothing more than worshiping at St. Aaron's Church of the Desert.
Now, I wasn't completely honest when I said this was this week's Issues Etc. audio, because that call, actually, we flagged that one for a Soundbite of the Week game last week, and he actually called in during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And we said, well, there's a soundbite contender. It comes from Mike. It's soundbite number one. Do you think it should be the soundbite of the week this week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number two. It's Bill Hybels. He's pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, of the Willow Creek Association, author of many books, very influential, on people who want the meat of God's word.
You know, a lot of people in this category, they're saying they're not being fed, that they want more meat of the word of God. They want more serious-minded scripture taught to them. They want to be challenged more. And so I was like, I'll feed those people. I'll hire some old... I'll hire some old seminary prof. I'll feed them till they barf.
All right, that's soundbite number two. Do you think it ought to be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week? Bill Hybels doesn't take too kindly to people wanting the meat of the word, apparently. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. No doubt about it, if you go to Willow Creek, he doesn't want you to expect to be fed. He's actually gone on to talk about people becoming self-feeders. Self-feeders. It sounds like self-consumption. Not healthy. Soundbite number three is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. And he's talking here about the depth of our sin. He has a great illustration. It just stuck in my mind.
It has to do with the depth of our sin, which is matched by the height of the Lord's love. If you come along and there's a well in the ground, there's a deep hole, you want to know how deep it is, so you drop a rock down there and you can't hear it hit the bottom. You're just looking down and it's this black hole, and it could be 10 feet deep, it could be 200 feet deep, you don't know. Until you look up and you see all of the dirt that came out of it, this huge mountain of dirt, and then you can figure out how deep the hole is. Well, this is how it is with our sin and with the cross. When we look at what it took for the Lord to win our salvation, when we see that it was nothing short of the holy and precious blood of the Lamb of God, God's own blood, like it says in Acts 20, that was the price of our redemption, then we see how deep our own sin is, and how there's no climbing out of the depth of that well, that we're sunk completely in sin, and the only hope we have is in the cross.
It's one of the reasons we have guys like Brian Wolfmiller on the program. He's a young pastor, but he didn't get that from any 50 Best Sermon Illustrations book, I can tell you that. But it's a marvelous illustration of the depth of our sin and the height of Christ's love. It's soundbite number 3. Do you think it ought to be the Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week? I want to hear from you. If so, why? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And here's soundbite number 4, and then I want to hear from you. Soundbite number 4 is Chris Roseborough on the seeker-sensitive recipe for success, but that isn't proving to be as successful as everyone thought it would be.
These Bill Hybels-type churches, they've got an alternate recipe, and now they're surprised that their new recipe isn't producing disciples. So here's their recipe for making disciples. It's heaping portions of culturally appealing entertainment. Second, generous scoops of songs that have little or no doctrinal content. Many are calling them 7-11 songs. They have 7 words, and you repeat them 11 times. Buckets of sermons that teach practical self-help lessons in pop psychology mixed with a sprinkling of out-of-context Bible verses, and the yeast from small group studies led by untrained lay people who, in effect, pool their biblical ignorance by asking the question, what does this verse mean to you? So this is their recipe that they've created for making disciples, and now they're surprised to find out that this recipe isn't working. Yet the one recipe that we have from Scripture, and that is a tenacious devotion to the teaching of the apostles, fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers, that's the one thing that's absolutely not even possible for them.
Okay, that's soundbite number 4. That's all of our soundbites we have to present to you. And now we want to know from you, which of these 4 should be the Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week this week? Give us a call. Is it soundbite number 1, Mike, a caller on the Me Focus of American Evangelicalism, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is it soundbite number 2, Bill Hybels, on what he thinks of people who want the meat of God's Word and want to be fed? Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Is it soundbite number 3, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, with that illustration about how you can't tell how deep a hole is until you look at how much dirt came out of it, and you really know the depth of your sin when you see what it took, the very blood of the Son of God, to pay the price for that sin? That's soundbite number 3, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Or is it soundbite number 4? You just heard it. Chris Roseborough on what he sees as the seeker-sensitive recipe for success that hasn't proved to be as successful as everyone thought it would be. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's start with Kathy in St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, I would vote for Bill Hybels because I really liked the first comment by the caller, but Bill Hybels, I think the reason I'm voting for him is I like it that he is so upfront, you know, right where he stands. Unlike many pastors who, when you approach them and want a pastor-led Bible study or you want more depth in the Bible studies, you want to actually study the Bible, they opt out with, you know, adiaphora. There's basically no wrong way to study the Bible study. And if you want a pastor to lead the Bible study, well, you'll be squelching Christian discussion. And, you know, instead of, you know, they act like they're being pious and better than thou, when Bill Hybels is just right up front. And I appreciate him being up front. I totally disagree with him, but I appreciate it.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much. You know, I find myself in that position, too, saying when I hear Bill Hybels say, you know, people who want to be fed, they're just being greedy. I'll feed you. I'll feed you till you barf. And then he actually disdains people who hunger and thirst for the Word of God. But he's honest. He says, if you want to be fed, this isn't the place for you. Or if it is, we're going to teach you how to feed yourself, because we're sure as heck aren't going to be feeding you with the Word of God. But he's honest. I agree with Kathy. It's much better than pastors who put on the pretense of wanting to feed people with the Word of God, but don't. At least Bill Hybels, you drive by his place, he's got a sign outside, in effect, that says, if you want to be fed with the Word of God, keep keep driving, as opposed to churches that will say, we'll feed you with the Word of God. They bring you in, and they won't.
You know how he mocked the term old? I'll bring an old professor in.
Old
here.
Seminary professor.
Old seminary professor. Yeah. I'll bring some old guy in.
You know
here.
The irony of that? Is that Willow Creek was founded largely under the tutelage of an old seminary professor, Dr. B.
Well, Heibels founded it.
Well, he founded it, but he did it as a disciple of Dr. Bill Zekian.
Right, right. But no, I think the irony, if you watch the video, is Heibels almost all gray now.
Oh, yeah.
His hair is not the blonde anymore. You know, people are going to start calling him old.
Yeah, he's one of those old Willow Creek pastors. Interesting. Yeah, well, such is life for the boomers. Look, I do it, too, because I'm a late-end boomer, but I'll talk about old people, and then I take a look in the mirror. And Heibels doesn't have anything on me in terms of gray. I think Heibels still has some of that boyish blonde. More power to him. Gail in St. Charles writes us via email. She says, my vote is for Bill Heibels' soundbite, which makes me literally sick when I heard it. See, that's another good reason to vote for it. If it makes you sick when you hear it, that's a good reason, as good as any other. She goes on to say, I used to think that I was just getting to be a curmudgeon, but now I'm feeling more and more like I am in the middle of the labor of birth pangs, which the scriptures speak of, and they are getting stronger, more frequent, and more painful. God help us to stand firm in what we know to be true when we who believe in the creeds are asked to give an account for our faith. May we recite from the memory and conviction of our heart that Jesus is Lord and the author of our salvation. Gail, thank you very much, and thanks for the email. She votes for soundbite number two. That gives Bill Heibels soundbite number two, two votes during Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ellen in Chesterfield. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hello, Pastor Wilkin. That Bill Heibels number two, I have visited his church, and I have friends who go there or who pop in for his what they think is his in-depth teaching. And he even came from the church that my mother-in-law was a member of way back in the 70s or 60s. But the reason why I listen to these people tell me about all this, and I just think to myself, every single denomination, all 30,000 of them, thought they were doing something new and different. And they all thought that we are a non-denominational church. This has been going on for forever. And my pastor just loaned me one of his seminary books from 30 years ago all about the history of the church. And what else is new? They're just doing the same thing that's been going on forever and ever. And everybody, every denomination, including our own, but at least we were the evangelical Catholics, and from there on, I mean, there's all kinds of offshoots of the Presbyterian Church, back in the 1800s, the Methodist Church or whatever, and history is just repeating itself.
Ellen, thank you. I'll take that as a vote of strong disagreement, but a vote nonetheless for Bill Heibels' soundbite number two. That gives him three. And by the way, if you want a little on the difference of the various forms of the Reformation, we'll be talking about it live Sunday night, broadcasting from Milwaukee, and we'll be talking with Dr. Pat Ferry about the Lutheran Reformation as opposed to the other streams of the Reformation. Chuck is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Todd. I got to vote for Bill Heibels.
And why?
Fantastic. Because I just spent 2 days in the presence of an old seminary professor. Man's 84 years old. You know, and after 17 years on the mission field in New Guinea, he had stories to tell about missions, about the gospel, about the power of God through the gospel and how the Holy Spirit works. That had knocked that man off his feet. Then you take people like an old seminary professor like Louis Brighton or an old seminary professor like Norman Nagel, and I'd put him up against that gentleman any day of the week and just watch them wow that congregation into complete silence. You know, with the preaching of the gospel that they do.
And feed them, maybe for the first time in a long time. Thank you very much, Chuck. Thank you very much, very, very much. All right, this is Josh in St. Louis. He emails us saying, I feel compelled to vote for number three. That would be Pastor Brian Wolf Miller on the depth of our sin. Not only does Pastor Wolf Miller use great picture language to illustrate his theological point, images stick longer in our minds. I think that's true. But he exemplifies how backwards Bill Heibels' theology phobia is. So there's one vote for soundbite number three. That's no votes for soundbite number one. Four for soundbite number two, Bill Hybels on the people who want the meat of God's word. One vote for soundbite number three, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the depth of our sin. And one vote, no votes for yet, for soundbite number four, Chris Roseborough on seeker-sensitive recipes for success. Now, Chris is writing from Carson City, Nevada, where he says, 7-Eleven songs is the greatest thing I've heard in a very, very long time. I will steal this term and use it in my attempts to prevent our church from adopting songs that I'm almost embarrassed to sing in church. Shall I take that as a vote for Chris Roseborough? Yes, soundbite number four, who said in his recipe for seeker-sensitive success, you have lots of songs devoid of theology called 7-Eleven songs, seven words, repeated 11 times. All right, we still got plenty of time for your votes on issues, etc. soundbite of the week. So far, the Bill Hybels soundbite is way out ahead of everybody else. If you want to change that, just give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Want to hear from you. Which of the four is your soundbite of the week and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Soundbite number one is Mike, a caller on the me focus of American evangelicalism. He even goes so far as to say it's not the church founded by Christ, but it is in fact the Church of Aaron in the Desert, I think is what he called it. issuesetc@kfuo.org, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Soundbite number two that has four votes, Bill Hybels, a little incensed that some of his members would want to be fed with the meat of God's word. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Soundbite number three has one vote, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, illustrating the depth of our sin by showing us the height of Christ's love. And that's got one vote. Soundbite number four, Chris Roseborough, on the recipe that many have been using for seeker-sensitive success. And just recently, Willow Creek discovered that it's not so successful with the Christians, you know. 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dennis is calling from his car. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Which do you think should be the issues, et cetera, soundbite of the week?
I'll take number four, Chris Roseborough's comment on the seeker-sensitive movement.
And why is that?
I'm quite familiar with the movement, would like to see my own church steer clear of it. I think it's a slippery slope toward apostasy, and I think Bill Hybels' method and Rick Warren's is not only on a slippery slope on it, but I believe they're at the gate and about ready to unlock the door to it. And instead of having enough biblical insight to want to go back to the Bible and back to the basics of the Bible, I believe that they have, are really ignoring it, and I'm very concerned that they're going to lead many people down a very destructive road.
Dennis, thank you very much. It is sad to watch this happen, this big church come to the conclusion on the basis of its own research that what it's been doing has been attracting unbelievers but not feeding Christians. And I say attracting, not converting, but attracting unbelievers. The most satisfied people in the audience at Willow Creek are the unbelievers. And by their own admission, the more they grow in the faith, the less satisfied the Christians are there. And they're saying, we're not being fed. This comes from Scott in Fisher, Illinois. He says, my vote goes for number four. That would be Chris Roseborough. Roseborough hits the nail on the head with the evangelical recipe. It belies the very definition of gospel. I was glad to rescue the woman who became my wife from a church that was heading in that direction. She finds a lot more meat in a Lutheran service than anything else. It's kind of like the meat platter. I mean, it's like the meat lover's pizza. I think Walther's calling the Council of Trent the synagogue of Satan hardly applies anymore. If such a synagogue exists in the present day, it is the so-called evangelical churches. Thank you, Scott, very much. So that would give three votes, a close second so far, to soundbite number two. But since time is running out, I've got to give away mugs and a T-shirt and announce our winner. First, let's see. I want Ellen to have a mug, and I would like very much for Chuck to get the T-shirt. It was Chuck, wasn't it, that had a smile on my face? And I'm going to send a mug to, who was it who just emailed us? You had the email up there, but I can't remember who it was. Jeff will remember who it is. And before we end here, the winner with 4 votes is soundbite number 2, Bill Hybels, on the people who want the meat of the word.
You know, a lot of people in this category, they're saying they're not being fed, that they want more meat of the word of God. They want more serious-minded scripture taught to them. They want to be challenged more. And so I was like, I'll feed those people. I'll hire some old... I'll hire some old seminary prof. I'll feed them till they barf. You know?
All right, that's your soundbite of the week.
It has to do with...
And thank you very much to everybody who called in. Again, I think I'm going to... What did I say? Chuck's going to get the I Have Issues T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And Scott was the one who just emailed us. I think I'm going to send him a mug and Ellen as well. So give us a call back. Jeff will get your information. And we'll send those Issues Etc. travel mugs out. And the I Have Issues T-shirt to Chuck, who was our best caller today. Have you considered asking your pastor, your board of elders, your board of missions, to put Issues Etc. in your advertising or mission budget for 2008? I think it's a great idea. In fact, for as little as $250, that's not much in a church budget. For as little as $250, you can make Issues Etc. part of your advertising or mission budget. And to make it easier for you, when you're going to your pastor, your elders, or your mission board and making your case, we have a printable one-page flyer that you can get at our website, issuesetc.org, that tells you everything you need to know, the benefits of your congregation signing up and putting Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget. All the details are there for you. Plus, right next to it is another link with listener response to Issues Etc., organized by month and year, that you, if you want a little extra evidence, you can print that off too and bring it to your pastors, your elders, or your mission budget. Issuesetc.org. Act now, because a lot of congregations are making the decisions about budget items as we speak. Issuesetc.org. Look for the link next to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's logo. Click it. You'll be able to print that flyer and ask that Issues Etc. be part of your 2008 advertising or mission budget. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking with Dr. Tim Rosso of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, talking to him about small groups. Are they a theological phenomenon? Are they outgrowth of Jesus saying where two or three are gathered in my name, or house churches in the New Testament? Or are they more a product of the culture than Sunday night, the Lutheran reformers versus the many other reformers of the 16th century? Dr. Pat Ferry will be our guest as we broadcast live from Milwaukee on our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. Then Monday on the program, Weekly Communion. Dr. Ken Weeding will be our guest. Pastor Peter Bender will also join us. We'll be broadcasting from Heidel House in Green Lake, Wisconsin, on day 2 and 3 of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. Tuesday, The Order of Creation. Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.